all the way back with me to the book of Exodus chapter 34. And we'll begin reading in verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generations. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. It is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. I want to pray and I want to preach to you on the topic, my curse on the cross, if you'd bow your heads with me.
Lord, I just pray, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you just have your way in this place. Lord, I pray that you speak to us, Lord, in this place. I pray that you speak to your pastor, Lord Jesus. You anoint the word that you have given him. I pray, Lord, you open up our ears so we can hear whatever it is that you have for us, Lord, that your will be fulfilled. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I don't hold fast too much to orthodoxy. I think that tradition is good, but tradition can kill the church, and I think it can kill the will of God. God is not a traditional God. He's still alive God. So to appreciate the resurrection, I think we have to understand history. Just very briefly to explain in this text, it was following the sin of Israel. God speaks of his mercy, and he speaks of forgiving of iniquity and transgressions and sin. But he says that will no means clear the guilty. The guilty are the non-repentant, just so you understand. Guilty is not somebody who has repented of their sin. Guilty is somebody who has not. And he said, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third in the fourth generation. I'm going to tell you a story this morning, if you'll let me. In the 1930s, Esther married an alcoholic, and she had 12 children. This true story. By 1960, most of Esther's family had grown. Her husband, Jed, continued to drink, and a life of poverty continued. By 1963, 90% of Esther's children were alcoholics, including her daughter, Mary. 1963 to 1965, Mary started her family. She had 4 children, and her husband both were alcoholics. Mary's 4 children were often left with the older children who sexually abused them. By 1975, Esther and her daughter, Mary, with Mary's daughter Ruth, began attending a Pentecostal church. Mary was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and she began her walk with God that day. Mary stopped drinking, but her husband remained an alcoholic who was mentally and physically abusive until he died. The family remained for quite some time in isolation and in poverty. By 1979, Mary and Ruth were able to get back to a church. By 1982, Ruth was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, following a Bible study. By 1984, her parents moved again, and Ruth felt as if she was in a wilderness drowning. All of Ruth's siblings struggled with alcoholism, and she vowed that she would not raise her family the same way. By 2005, Mary, Ruth, and her 16-year-old daughter Alice went to a new Pentecostal church. Alice was baptized there. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. But all 3 of Ruth's brothers became alcoholics. One spent 10 years in prison. His children spent many years in the foster system. The other two brothers had multiple DUIs throughout their lifetime. One brother's one of his children are in prison today for child pornography, another for making and selling drugs. The story reflects the generational curses that we read in the book of Exodus. He said, upon the guilty, the iniquities of the father will be visited upon the children, and upon the children's children, and upon their grandchildren. This story illustrates how true that is. From 1930 until today, there are generations, four generations total in this story. Most became alcoholics. Many struggled with abuse sexually, physically. Many of their children wound up in prison, grandchildren in prison, child pornography, some of the worst things that we can imagine, and then, of course, drugs. So when one woman married an alcoholic, his children became alcoholics and suffered abuse. His grandchildren and great-grandchildren all suffered from alcoholism, abuse, pornography, drugs, and prison. It was a curse that somebody would need to seek the cross and to break. Because of one, several generations will suffer the curse of their fathers. In this room today, I can assure you this story, and I will tell you that all of four of those ladies that I read to you about are sitting in the sanctuary today. The names obviously have been changed. But one of the things that I have struggled with as a pastor is not how to plan the nicest service, and it's not how to put more people on the pew. It's been how to get people out of these generational curses. It's how to help people understand that through the cross, the whole purpose of the cross is to give us new hope every year. Every year this day comes around and many will come to church. Most will come with some form of anticipation. Others may just come because they were asked. And every week across this globe, we've got people sitting in our church pews more than we would care to talk about. More than we would ever understand, because the makeup and the hair do a pretty job of covering up the past. And there are far too many that sit in the church pew on a regular basis and still suffer from the curse of their past. Whether they suffer emotionally, whether they suffer mentally, whether they suffer in their life, they suffer. And so because of one, many generations will suffer. But also because of one, generations can be liberated from the strongest of strongholds. When we say those words to you and I who have been in church for a good portion of our life, to us, it might not mean too much. And when I say us, I'm not you. My family suffered. My mother was beaten over and over and over again, a gun put to her head as she slept. We grew up in chaos, and it only changed after somebody understood that through a cross, the curse can be broken and does not have to be passed on to the next generation. My real dad got so drunk he left me and my brother in a bar and hadn't seen him since till he died. And I didn't even get to see him then. But by the grace of God, and because we somewhere along the line found a cross to cling to, it broke the curse that should have been passed down to multiple generations. This story, when it was being shared with me, I told the individual. I said, you need to write this down. Even though I understand that so many go through it, I want to be able to put it into words, if you allow me to, and share with the congregation how powerful this curse can be. And there are too many people today that are sitting here listening to me, and you are a product of the curse of your past. You as well have dealt with that curse. You as well have suffered, and you have done other things that are unorthodox to try and drown out the suffering and drown out the pain. We never talked about prior to 1930 and why Jed became an alcoholic and what sorts of things that he deal with in his life that drove him down that path of alcoholism, and it wound up consuming his life and consuming his family. We would be fools not to recognize the crisis in our world. We would be remiss not to acknowledge the fact that people are dying at rapid paces under addiction and under abuse and by suicide and many other means. We would not be true to ourselves, and we certainly would not be true to the cross, not to acknowledge that there's got to be something done in this world that is rapidly coming apart at the stitches. And I think the greatest error we have ever made as human beings is when we said, as long as it doesn't affect me, I don't care. I got news for you. It's all around you now. And some of you, it's now affected your children, and it's affected your homes, and it's affected your families. And I'm going to tell you what scares me. What scares me is it has become normal to us, and we have accepted these lifestyles as normalcy. The text that I read to you was a powerful text, because it took an idolatrous people and it showed them that mercy and grace and forgiveness of sin is yours for the taking. And I understand that was all before the cross. Where do you think the cross came from? What do you think led to the cross? We cannot separate ourselves from the Old Testament when we embrace the new. And so as we celebrate his resurrection, it is equally important that we understand his suffering, because his suffering is what made the way to break the curse. It's not a story. It's not a pretty picture that you hang on your wall. It was real life. It was suffering beyond imagination. But you've got to understand something. The reason that Jesus endured the cross was because he was able to see the future and understand that the yoke of the curse could be broken in so many homes and so many lives if he would endure what it was that was laid before him. I'm going to say this. I said it Wednesday night. I'm going to say it again. If anybody ever told you that Jesus couldn't sin, they spoke in error. They did not speak under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. You take away the power, the powerful act that took place in Gethsemane when Jesus prayed and said, if this cup may pass, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. He was fully human and fully God, but the human did not look forward to enduring the suffering, but the Godhead in him. The scripture says the fullness of the Godhead was in Jesus Christ bodily, and it was the Godhead in him that understood, this is the pathway that I must walk in order to set that curse free. We've become masters of disguise. We really have. We walk around with smiles. We've taught our younger generation. Well, maybe we didn't teach them. They learned it. But they'll spend 15 minutes taking one picture to make sure the perfect one is what gets posted. Nobody sees all the ones they couldn't stand because they don't stand to look at themselves. No one can see the pre-filter and all the things that they did just to try and get one picture that they could feel good about themselves to put on social media, because they still suffer under the curse of their past. We try and make it a habit here of talking about people's pasts, because you never understood somebody. You'll never understand where they've come from or why they're the way they are unless you understand where they came from. And it's the church. The church is the only one. I'm gonna tell you, You forgive me if you're of a profession here today, but psychologists will not fix this problem. Psychiatrists will not fix this problem. Doctors and lawyers will not fix the problem. The only thing that will fix this problem is the cross. And the reason we celebrate this day is because we understand how powerful the cross is. We understand that it was the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the price that was paid, that made a way that we could be redeemed from our curse and from our past. If I may just preach for a moment, be careful if you've got a nice, stable life. Be careful because you may not understand how powerful the cross is. Be careful if you have been blessed as an individual, because you may not cherish the cross. You may not cherish the price that was paid. It might be far from you. It takes brokenness in order to be thankful for the price that was paid there. It takes somebody who understands who they are and where they've come from to understand where he can take us to. His suffering at Calvary, it broke the yoke that's meant to keep generations in bondage. Hey, you got to understand what I'm trying to tell you today. It is not enough just to sit on a church pew. It's not enough just to give your tithe. It's not enough just to dress up on Sunday morning. But we've got to let the Lord break the yokes of the curse of our past so he can be God in our lives. And somebody else doesn't get the glory for trying to rescue somebody from their past. The darkness of this world, driven by Satan himself, he works through fear and intimidation. I've seen that my whole life. I've tried to deal with people over the years. I've tried to help them understand the fear that they struggle with. Even today, there are people that live every day in fear. There's a fear that grips them because of the curse of your past. Something somewhere in your lineage was birthed in your life that you don't understand. You may never have even been a part of. But that curse gets passed down until somebody is able to look to the cross and understand the power of the cross. And in doing so, they reach for the cross because they know that it's through the cross I can be set free of this past. It's not enough if we put them on our back walls. It's not enough if we hang them around our neck. If we do not understand the power of the cross, if we don't understand that that cross represents broken yokes, that cross represents broken curses, that cross means somebody can live a brand new life in Jesus Christ because of the cross. And so his suffering broke the yoke that's meant to keep generations in bondage. The darkness of this world, he broke that yoke by his willingness to suffer and go to the cross. Now watch this. Jesus understood. He understood something that we fear our entire lives, death. He understood the cross was not just about being nailed and raised up, but it would lead to death, which is the end. That's what he understood. And so there must have been something in him, in his humanity, that was not looking forward to breathing his last breath as he hung on that cross. But he understood something far deeper. He knew the plan of God, and he knew that death would only be temporary, because in raising from that grave, what happened is he broke another curse, which was the curse of death. It was the curse of finality. When we think all hope is lost, he was teaching us that through the cross, God can raise us from our dead lives. He can put life back inside of us, and he can give us something that's worth living for again. We're a generation of things. I think a lot. It's probably why I'm messed up. And I think a lot about how the world used to be. I think a lot about Ukraine now, having been there, having some good friends there, churches that we love dearly, how all the luxuries that we become accustomed to life is gone. In many cases, they struggle with basics like water. They're just hoping for food. They're not looking for the latest smartphone. They just want some food. They just are looking for heat in a cold winter night as their houses have been leveled by what I will call terrorists. The stories of the women and young women that have suffered rape and abuse, now a curse has been perpetrated upon thousands of families. And it's only through the cross that that curse can never be broken again. Because Satan, when he gets his grip in somebody, he intends, as the scripture says, to steal, to kill, and destroy. It is his wishes to completely ruin and destroy. And I look at so many of our young men that have been destroyed by drugs. They have no self-esteem. They have no ability to lead their homes, no ability to lead their children or to even love their children. And I want to tell you today, as your friend, buying them a present on Christmas or their birthday is not loving them. Loving them is teaching them how we become free, and we live free through the Lord Jesus Christ. Loving them is teaching them that we can overcome everything. If God be for us, who can be against us? But I wish it were that easy. I wish I could just preach a message. I tell our church all the time, probably my first message I ever preached, I don't know how old I was. I wasn't married. I was probably in my 22, 23. It was pretty bad, I would say. Then I thought it was great, but it was probably pretty bad. And in the middle of preaching this, with his older black sister, you sit right over there, and boy, she just got him. She just started, and I thought, man, I'm good. That's exactly what I thought. When you're young and you're still, woo, man, I can move mountains. Praise God. Well, years later, I look back and I'm like, she's the only one that moved in that service. Nobody else moved. And then as I got older, I realized, my Lord, I'm worse than what I ever thought. And I think I get older preaching. I think I get worse as I get older. Now, hold on a second. I'm not asking you to bazaar for me. What I'm saying is I've learned to put it all in God's hands. And I've learned to understand that my calling is to only be a vessel. It's not to move people. It's just to be a vessel. So my point was this. I wish I could get up and preach this message to you today, and it would just change people's lives. But it won't. And that's what the church has failed to understand. It's not a message that changes people. It's the message that moves people closer to the cross. And when they learn how to grab a hold of the cross, then they understand the power in the cross, and they get bloodstained on their hands from clinging to the old rugged cross. And they realize it's there that I can be set free. It's not through the preacher. It's not through the pews. It's not because of the building. It's worth $2 million. It's because the cross is there. I told the church recently, I bought a cassette player off of Amazon, and I started listening to some of my first sermons that I preached when we moved out here. And I ain't gonna lie to you, I put it on, I thought, God, this is gonna be horrible. I did. And I started listening to it, and I'm like, man, that guy's not too bad. That's pretty good. I got a few goosebumps. I really did. And the Lord reminded me, it wasn't about the little fire hall that you were preaching in. It wasn't about the building. It wasn't about the 2x6s that you took old carpet and covered those pews with. It wasn't about the old rotted out van that you bought to haul people to church and to bring those old pews out. It wasn't about the karaoke machine that you were preaching out of. It was because you understood the cross then. Don't get too big where you forget the cross. Don't get too successful where you forget the cross. Don't ever forget. It's only through the cross of Jesus Christ that we can ever be liberated from this God-forsaken world. And so Jesus knew that the cross would lead to his death, the ultimate finality. We know that we never return from the grave, and that's why death scares so many of us. It's final. It's something we can't control. It's something that happens in a moment. here today. The next day, that phone call comes. I got that phone call this week from a mother. Her 33-year-old son, she doesn't even know what happened. And within moments, he was dead, and they came, and they could not resuscitate him. Still probably trying to find answers, because that's how fast it comes, and we don't understand exactly when that moment will be. And so we fear what we don't know. But if we make ourselves busy enough, if we make ourselves addicted enough to all the things of this life, I wish I could have some folks that would understand with me. I believe it's okay to have nice things. I have no problem with that whatsoever. The Lord has blessed us as a family. But I also understand that none of those things can ever replace the cross. None of those things can ever do what only the cross can do. None of those things can, not only can they not set someone free, but they make us more of a prisoner. We go from one prison to the next prison to the next prison. And we wind up in this prison of addiction, of buying things, trying to find some happiness in life. In this prison of moving here and moving there and always moving, looking for something new. And the worst thing I hear people ever say, oh, I just need a fresh start, Pastor. That doesn't mean a change of your zip code. That means you've gotten too far from the cross and you just need to make your way back. You need to remember where the blood of Jesus was. You need to remember the price that was paid. You need to understand what Easter means, what this day means to us. So when Jesus stepped out of that tomb, it was a statement to death. The statement was, you can no longer hold a person captive. But now, no matter what state they are in, they can be free. I wish I could have one person in this building that understood that God can resurrect your mind. He can resurrect your brokenness. He can resurrect everything you've ever done. But you are the one that's got, preacher, pray for me. You got to pray for yourself. You got to bring yourself to the altar. You got to get yourself to the cross and understand that God wants to set you free and wants to break the curses. Right now, I wish I could share every story with you, but I can't. First of all, I don't know all of them. Some of y'all have kept them secret because you're embarrassed. You should never be embarrassed of where God's brought you from. You should never be embarrassed of what He's done for you. You should never be ashamed of the horrid, putrid state of life that the curse put you in, but the cross brought you out of. That's something to celebrate. That's something to rejoice about. And that shows the glory and the power of God to the rest of the world. The stories I've heard over the years make your hair stand up, make you cry, make you soak the pages of whatever it is you're reading at the time. Horrible stories, horror stories, children sold, being pimped out, being beaten, stood in the middle of rooms naked, being put in cars and set on fire. These are the stories I've heard firsthand from those that were suffering under the curse. And I can tell you, some of those stories are still here today. There are people still in this room that are still living under the curses. Let's make it easier for you. Maybe the curse of divorce runs through your family. We don't look at that as a curse anymore. I'll tell you, anytime the adversary tears the home apart, it's a curse. Anytime he undoes the sacred vows that were given at an altar, it's a curse. I'm not here to condemn you because of that. I'm here to tell you that there is a better way. There is a better life than just moving on and changing. And those things become curses to us. Maybe your curse is just cigarette smoke. There used to be a day we thought that was a horrible thing. Now, we wish everybody just had a smoking problem. We wish that was the biggest things we had to deal with, but it's not. But it's still a curse. Any addiction is a curse. Anything that holds you to it, anything that you cannot just walk away from at the snap of a finger can become a curse, a stronghold in your life. And so when Jesus stepped out of the tomb, you need to understand here today what he was saying to all future generations. If I can overcome it, you can overcome it too. I wish I had somebody that could hear what I was trying to say to you. You got to quit walking around having a pity party for yourself. And you got to understand that God brought you here to help you understand there is a cross for you to grab a hold of. And there is victory to be had in your life. You can have the life that you dreamt of as a child. You can have what you believed God was going to give you. It can all be restored in a moment if you let God do it. Because that's who God is.
He's not your buddy. He's not a friend. He's not the big guy upstairs. He's God, Jehovah. He's from the beginning until the ending, from everlasting to everlasting. He always was, and we cannot process what came first. I don't care if it's a chicken or the egg. God's always been here, and He is. There is no beginning to Him. And when I understand that, I understand that He looked down through the pages of time when He prepared the plan of Calvary and said, I've got to have a plan where they can break the cross. Or they can break the curse through the cross.
And so it's an example of what can be. It's proof that we can be resurrected from the deepest and the darkest and the coldest places of life to shatter the grip of the curse. It's a reminder that we don't have to be bound by our flesh. What do you mean? Just make sure you understand that. When you give in to those things, whatever they might be, you're bound by your flesh. Do you see? In the tomb, the flesh begun to rot. But understand the miraculous aspect of the story that's rarely talked about. And that is the fact that a man that was beaten beyond recognition, his flesh had been pulled away from his body with the whip that was meant to inflict the most amount of pain possible. Understand, when he came out of that tomb, there was no evidence of his past except two scars. And those two scars were only there. His flesh had been restored. He had been glorified. That's why he told Mary, you can't touch me, because the process of what God is doing is not yet finished. But he maintained by will two scars in his side and his hand. Why? Those scars were meant to share with the doubter. Yes, it's me. You might look at me and think there's no... Get some help here right now. You might look at me and say, there's no way that's your past. There's no way you came from that. There's no way that's Jesus. I watched him pull his flesh away from his body with that whip. You might look, but he'll say, oh yes, that's the power of God. Look at the scars in my hands. Look at this. That's what convinced Thomas, the man who was a doubter. He thought what so many today think. He thought, there's no way that's him. I saw what happened to him. And he said, look, Thomas, it's me. Don't you understand that's why you have scars? You have scars to convince the doubters. You have scars to testify to the world. Yes. I can tell you, if I pulled up some of my old pictures and I was 14 years old, you say, there's no way that's him. I can tell you, if you knew me when I was 18, 19, or 20 years old, you say, that's no way that's him. I could start pulling people out of this a congregation this morning, and it would testify of the power of God. But I've used one person many times, and I asked her if I could use her again. And I just want you to come up here, Jess, and stand for me. Because my wife and I were talking about you. Not bad things, don't worry. I won't be a whole lot longer. I know you got your chocolate to open up and baskets to find and all that good stuff. Just stay right there. We were talking about her the other day. And I said, you know what's miraculous about her story? Is I said, she doesn't look like she ever done a drug a day in her life. But she spent years in drugs. She overdosed 5 or 6 times. And how many times were you given Narcan? 4 times. But when you look at her, you'd say, there's no way. I don't believe that. That's the power of God. That's what the cross can do to somebody. The normal man will look at them and say, there's no way. Thomas looked at Jesus and said, there's no way. But Jesus said, look at the scar. And Jessica has scars to show this world. I'm not done, but I'm going to slowly, as we say here, the plane is, we're coming in for our final approach. But just keep in mind, it takes a few minutes to land this thing, and then it's a big plane. It takes a little bit to stop it, and then we got taxi into the airport, so just give me time to get there. Then we'll let you debark. This family that we shared with you, I told you they're here today. They'll tell you it has not been an easy journey. A cross or a curse can be a tough thing. We don't like to acknowledge the obvious things around us. We want to pretend as if Jesus is, he's done it all, and that's not Bible. The things we have to do. He said, come unto me, you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, I'm going to come unto you. He said, come unto me. There's got to be a desire. There's got to be somebody that says, I believe that if I make that move forward, I believe that I can grab a hold of that cross that he's talking about, and my life can be transformed. There's got to be somebody that says, I'm tired of living outside of the mercy and the power of God. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, whatever you want to call it. I'm sorry, I'm getting bored with all these dingbats out there. They got nothing better to do than to get up there and blast you because you use the word Easter. You might get your kid a basket. My God, do something productive, would you? So I don't care if you want to have Easter or Resurrection Sunday. It doesn't hurt my feelings. As long as you're not bowing down to the bunny, that's all that really matters. And so Easter reminds us of the opportunity to escape the curse of our forefathers. It's something about the day that's special. It's not just the mark on the calendar, but there's an anticipation that comes with the day. And for those of us who are believers, there's this, an anticipation or reminders of the cross, of the price, of the victories, all those things. Reminds me that no matter how ugly my life may have been, we have the liberty to walk out of that grave. What seemed impossible now looks attainable. What once I thought there was no hope nowhere, now I feel a glimmer of hope. I feel like, yes, I can do this through the Lord Jesus. The whole point of his restored body was a metaphor to us that we can be fully restored under the power of God. I'm going to dig deeper just for a moment. I'm almost done. I believe most things do have a place, but they've become a life. And there is not a drug that you can take that will ever heal you. They'll help you. They're not going to heal you. There's not a sleeping pill that's ever going to cause you to overcome your anxiety. There's not an antidepressant medication that's going to heal you of your depression. They may have a place for the moment, but you need to learn to be free. You need to learn to be free. You need to understand that through the cross, there is complete and total freedom and liberty. That's what it means when you take that curse and you place it on the cross. So even though Esther, Mary, Ruth, and Alice lived under the curse, somewhere along the line, they found a cross to place their curse upon. Most people feel as if nothing will ever change. But I'm here to tell you today that it will. I'm here to tell you that Jessica is living proof that it will. That I am living proof that it will. That Anthony is living proof that it will. That Connie and Patrick and Brian and Kristen. Kristen, stand up for a second. Kristen, the first time she'd come into church, she was goth head to toe. Head to, here, come up here. Chantel, walk up too real quick, quickly. These two girls, goth head to toe. Now, I know the traditional view, and some of the churches have bought into the lie. They bought into the lie. Well, Jesus loves you just the way you are. Well, how do you think you came out of your curse, but you want to teach somebody to stay in theirs? Love does not leave, but love pulls out of. Both of these girls, goth, black hair, black fingernails. Really? And I remember the first time I saw Kristen Gentile, we wrote her off years ago. The first time I saw Kristen, I thought, oh my gosh, it's going to be work. How many depression pills are you guys on? Anxiety pills? Now, I know you used to smoke a lot of pot. It was her go-to thing. But you know what her go-to is now? It's the cross. When you see her come up, and then she got married to this handsome fellow there just a couple months back. She went from wanting to take her life many times to truly giving her life up. It's proof. It doesn't mean the road is always smooth, but it's proof that God is a restorer. That is what Easter is about. Now listen, people talk a lot about the physical appearance. Oh, God don't care how you look. I disagree with you. You know why? Because when people see the physical transformation, they begin to believe in a whole different level. When they see, it's one thing if you stay the way you are, and if she was up here today still, black fingernails, black hair, big baggy pants with a big chain hanging, I'll never get that vision out of my head. God, it was horrible. That'd be one thing, but it's another when you see a transformation. You begin to realize you guys can sit. You begin to realize how powerful God is. Kenny, stand up, was living in a van when he came here. In a van down by the river. Oh, if you don't get that one, you're lost. A lot of emotional struggles over the years, but he's fought. He's tried to stay faithful. He's tried to stay teachable. Humility, overcome a lot. And here he is today, married. His wife left him already. There was a day we thought Kenny would never get married. But he did. And then you can sit. And Caitlin can stand for me. Now, he's married to her sister. Sad story. Anyway. These girls in January of 2015. Why was I going to say 13? At 13 years old, they start coming to church here. They sat right back there where Tom is with the camera today. And look at Tom. There's another story. Look at this guy. Hey, hold on a second. Do me a favor. Hang on one second. Do me a favor. Turn around and show him your scars. Those are his scars. But that ain't who he is today. Show him your scars. Look at it. But that's not who he is today. He's married to Jessica. God has restored both of them. They have a beautiful family. They both have a great job. God has blessed them. And then Caitlin, her and Kristen came, and Juanita. I know you were there too, Juanita, wherever you're sitting. And their dad died a couple months later. I was there that day. It was a horrible day. And, oh, for Caitlin, there was a time period where I thought, that poor girl, you're never going to make it. But not only did she transform herself through the help of God, but it was all her. We didn't push her. We didn't prod her. We didn't say, you got to do this. You need to do that. She dealt with all kind of depression, discouragement. She still struggles with things. But look at her, a beautiful young lady. And if you have your eyes on her, you got to come to me first, just for the record. As a testimony of who God is. You can sit. Frank and Susan, where'd Frank go? Wave your hands. Susan is battling cancer.
God has already got control of it. Frank went through it a year or two ago. We came to them because their son, Jess is their daughter, but their son was in jail. I was a chaplain of the sheriff's department. We were riding, taking him to court. And that's how we got a hold of the whole family. And here they are, what, 12, 13, 14, 15 years later. God has completely blessed them. And I want to tell you something. I'm almost done. I know we got to go because we got another service, two more to do. But I'm going to tell you something. When I was talking to my wife the other day, Brother Frank and Susan, and we said, I don't understand how Jessica can look so normal. I know that sounds terrible. I said it. Beautiful. I didn't use the word beautiful. I told her it's because they prayed and they covered her in prayers. Every ditch she was in, every drug house she was in, it's because she had parents that were remained faithful to God when they wanted to quit. And they broke the curse. They broke the curse in their life. Anthony's a story. His story is just beginning. I wish I could tell, but I'm not going to tell it today, Anthony, because I don't feel like I have the liberty to. But we know, and God knows, and if they want to come to you, they can come to you. A miracle. A man who was a Wiccan. His brother was a Wiccan priest. Been in on a church, backslid for a season. But God has restored, and God is redeeming. Why? Because he understood there's power in the cross. He understood the ability to take his curse and place it upon the cross. Brett was an alcoholic and a drunken stupor when he called out to God and felt like there's got to be something better than this. There's got to be a curse that can be broken. I know we don't all have the same stories. Brother Jerry was an alcoholic. There's a reason he won't take wine with communion, because he don't want nothing to do with that old lifestyle. He don't want nothing to do with the past that God has brought him out of. And the list goes on. And I'll close with your reminder, or my reminder, our reminder, that the man that is privileged to stand before you today was left in a bar by a drunken father who never escaped the grip of alcoholism until the day he died. Tried to find him for years, and his sister called me a week after he died and said, "Oh, your dad left you a house." I went out to Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Some of y'all are like, "That's all you got to say." Johnstown, Pennsylvania. I walked into that place, and as God is my witness, the moment I crossed the threshold of the door after I got past the condemned sign that he was living in, my legs were covered in fleas. Feces covered the whole floor of the house. Garbage was piled up in the front room. There was not a couch visible, and it was there. When I went upstairs, there were not mattresses on the bed, but there was garbage filling all the rooms. I don't even know where he slept. The entire basement floor, you could not step one step without there being dog feces there. That is the end result of the curse. But me and my family and my children are the end result of the cross. That is what God does. That is how God redeems and restores. And I'm here to tell you today, he's not finished yet. If you would stand with me right now, if you want to put your curse on the cross, I want to invite you to walk up here. We're not going to touch you. We're not going to do anything with you, but we're going to pray from a distance with you. And we're going to believe that this is just not a Sunday that's going to come and go, but this Sunday, this day, God is going, you go ahead and come. It's all right. God is going to break the curse. That doesn't mean you're a heathen. It doesn't even mean you're lost. It was the children of God that were bound to a curse. But it means that we recognize the power of God. Here's another couple whose story is just beginning to be told right here. It ain't over yet. And they got some of the remnants of the past that they're encountering. But watch and see what God does. Give him a few years and just see how God deals with things. Just see how God restores everything. Because he is a restoring God. He is a God that gives life. He's a God that changes your past. He'll pull that rug right out from underneath you and show you a better way. That's what the cross is all about. That's what the blood of Jesus is all about. That's what Easter is really about. It's about the redemption power of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's about a tomb that could not hold him, and it can't hold you. That tomb, your curse cannot hold you if you lift your hands and tell the Lord, I want to be free from my curse. I want you to pray with me all over this house right now, if you would. Pray with me all over this house. Now listen, we've asked God for one miracle today in this service. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to try and announce it and get any credit for it. But if you get a miracle, if God does a miracle for you, whatever, healing mentally, in your family, somewhere else, I want you to let me know about it in the coming days or weeks, because I know that God is about to do something in somebody's life. Go ahead and sing for us. Would you pray? And would you join together as one body and one mind all over this house right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory.
Saturday was sad. Surely it was through, since when as impossible ever loved you. Friday's disappointment, Sunday's empty tomb, since when as impossible ever stopped you. This is the sound of dry bones.
Come on, you got to see it. I can see myself being free. I can see my life being different. I can see it. It all begins with your vision. I want to see more than what I've seen in my past. I believe in faith. Hallelujah. Glory.
Stirring something new.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Resurrection power runs in my veins too. I believe there's another miracle here in this world. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. The praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Oh. To save and deliver and heal and restore anything that he wants to. Just as the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah, if there's anything that he can do.
Just as the stone that was rolled at the tomb in the garden. What happens when God says to move? I feel him moving it now. I feel him doing it now. I feel him doing it now. Do it now. Do it now. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Open the grave, I'm coming. is the sound of trouble crying. I hear the sound, yes, Lord, I hear the sound, oh, I hear the sound, yes, I hear the sound, oh, I hear the sound.
What an awesome word from the Lord we heard today. And I'm here to share with you. Yes, I was in that generational curse. But I learned that day came when I took that curse to the cross. And today is that day for us. If we're still living in that generational curse. And I can tell you that I did it late in life. And there was collateral damage. It affected my family. There was divorce. It affected my children. And for a long time, I lived with that guilt of that. But you know what? I've learned to take that to the cross as well. And God restores. And I'm going to share something here today. My son said he would never go to church. But yesterday, him and his wife and his two little girls said they're coming to the Conneaut service today. Hallelujah. Don't tell me God's not a healer. Don't tell me God's not a restorer. This day, I know he moved in this service. And I know he touched each one of us. Put that curse on that cross. Don't worry about the guilt. Don't worry about none of that. Give that to the Lord also. Put that on the cross as we go before him in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for that cross, Lord, and that ultimate price that you paid. Lord, that so we, Lord, can break those generational curses. Those curses, Lord, that's destroyed our family for generations, Lord. This day, Lord, we felt, Lord, that you moved in this service. Lord, we know you touched hearts and minds. And we know, Lord, that in this service, Lord, there are those that's going to take those generational curses and they're going to hang them on that cross. And you will restore them. You will restore their family, Lord. Lord, you will give them hope, Lord, in the days to come, Lord. Lord, you will set their feet on a rock to stay. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your love. And we thank you, Lord, for the cross, the thing that we can hang those things on, Lord, and give them to you. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. If you, something you felt today or something you heard and you want to know more, please come see me, Pastor R. Derry. You want a Bible study. And whatever questions you have, anything, please come see us. And we'll gladly do a one-on-one with you and explain the power of God and how what it did in our life, it'll do the same to you. Amen. You are dismissed. In Jesus' name, amen.